to marriage beyond the vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We welcome your phone call. We're having an open forum right now, and the number to reach us is 855-454-5905. We were in the midst of a conversation with Wazira from New Jersey. We're going to rejoin that conversation at this time. Wazira, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Wazira, right. Thank you so much for your patience and holding. For all those who are just listening or just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we're having an open forum, meaning you can ask whatever you want. And Wazira had an interesting question about a past relationship, and just to briefly kind of summarize what you talked about, Wazira, is you grew up in church, so you knew about God, but you went through a stage of rebellion. You weren't really ready to kind of listen to God's will. And there was this man in your life who kept sharing about God's word, but also was trying to sleep with you at the same time, to have, you know, cause you to be impure. And you decided at one point, a couple years later, that you wanted to get right with God. And then this man, you know, was in your life. You knew he was not really, his intentions weren't good, but you gave in. And you've fallen into sin with him. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a scripture here that I want you to carefully consider this. And I'm not saying just even read it now, but later on, study it out and really pray. You know, 2 Timothy 3, and I'll just read little sections of it. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, and it goes on and on. And it says, have nothing to do with such people. And then... let me read verse 5, where it says they have a form of godliness, but deny its power, have nothing to do with them. And then it breaks it down. It says they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kind of evil desires, always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And so what is that saying? It's that their character, that these men specifically, in this case, is a man. It could be a woman, but it's a man who is not living like God wants, but they have a form of godliness. What does that mean? It's like, they talk about God. They have a form, but they don't really believe in its power. They're not really obeying it. They're not really fulfilling what God's word says. And it's like they're the kind that try to worm their ways into the homes and gain control over gullible women, meaning that you have been very gullible. And in the New International Version, the 1984 version, it says they're weak-willed women, meaning that you have a desire, but you're not following through. First of all, I don't think, Wazira, that you want to be categorized as a woman who's weak or gullible. I think you want to make sure in the eyes of God that you are a secure woman who's steadfast in him. And so the first thing, you know, have you cut off this relation totally?
Oh, well, now that I have a true relationship with God, yeah, I've cut that off. I do not compromise. And now, when I talk to an individual, I'm able to listen and hear. And then I take it to God right after. And I pray and ask him to reveal to me their true nature. So now,
Excellent. All right. Well, that's awesome. So let me ask you this. So now you pray, you look there. So has this individual tried to contact you in during this?
So, okay. Interesting. But see now, this is how awesome God is. I ask God continuously to reveal this individual to me. Now they're bold. They're bold. Now that I have this walk with God, and God is using me, you know. So there have been times where God has taken me back to the same individual where I haven't talked to in months, and I'm able to tell this individual what they're doing, you know. So that kind of scared the individual as well, like, oh, my goodness, you know, she started off as nothing, but now God is literally using her, and he's telling her things about me. So that keeps him away. But now he's bold to the point where he doesn't even have to, you know, allow himself to be covered. He just calls and blatantly asks, you know, to come over and do this and do that. And I'm telling him, like, you don't respect me. Yeah. You don't respect God. You know, you're not who you say you are. And the bad thing about it is he's 50. Wow. So for you to be acting like this and in the church and all of this is just like, it's so distasteful.
All right. So he said earlier, what's worse than a wolf? It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. You've exposed that. You're like, listen, you're a wolf, and you're, why are you trying to act like a sheep? You're just a wolf. And so have you cut him off totally, though?
Yes, I have. Okay, yes, good. Now I won't even take a call. I got to the point.
Amen.
Well, God, of God,
well, good for
it was
you.
God, because after me, I would be okay for months, and then I would go back, and then I would
be given of myself.
I would be messed up literally for like 3 weeks. Like,
course,
oh my gosh, why did just all out of shape? But now I know it was nothing but the enemy distracting me. You know,
okay.
Taking me off of God's will and having my focus just all over. So I'm constantly learning. And I even thank that man. I thank him so much for, you know, just being that wolf in sheep's clothing because of who I am in Christ today. I wouldn't be able to talk to you to tell you my testimony. I wouldn't be able to tell other women what to look out for, you know, because we go through so many things and we don't love ourselves. So
yeah,
all want that God-fearing man,
good,
but not
good.
All of these men are God-fearing. So we get these men, and they talk a little, they mention God a little bit. You know, they open up the Bible a little bit, not enough, but a little bit, and it's like, oh, my gosh,
no,
we're in love.
I got
you know,
I mean, you got it. You hit it right on the head. So anyway, Wazira, thank you. We really do appreciate this, and good for you. I mean, we're proud of you. Keep strong, keep steadfast, and be on the lookout for future wolves in sheep's clothing. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you for listening as well.
All right.
No problem.
Thank you.
God
Take
bless.
Care. All right, let's go to Connie calling in on line 3. Connie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I was just calling in with a comment in regards to your topic. I'm actually driving in my car. I actually was calling to encourage someone. I'm 34 years old.
Okay.
And I've been divorced. I got married pretty young. I got married when I was 19. And I didn't know about counseling, marriage. I just want to be married. Grew up in a church.
Okay.
I'm divorced. Been divorced for 7 years. I have 2 daughters. And, you know, I know, you know, from what I've learned from being married and now divorced and dating, I know the ideal man that I want for myself. And in the last 3 years, I've been abstinent, and I've been praying, asking God to send me my ideal man. And I think God has sent me that man. And just to encourage someone today, it's not even about the sexual or, you know, when God bless you with that person, you would know. You know, and this person that God has blessed me with, he actually, you know, asks God for a woman that's in the Word, that doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, that's healthy, you know, vegetarian and so forth. And, you know, God has blessed me. But, you know, I just want to encourage someone today to just be patient. And prayer and fasting helps.
Wow.
So, a living testimony.
Well, I was going to ask
prayer
you that,
and fasting helps.
Well, let me ask you this. What have you done? And, of course, you've prayed and fasted. Absolutely, you know, everyone should do that, whether you're looking for someone or not. I mean, for when you need clarity, you need to pray, you need to fast. And
exactly.
I think that's excellent. What did you do? Or were there ever times when you really struggled and you wonder, you know, am I going to find that person? You know, having been in a marriage that, you know, it didn't start off the right way and it ended up in divorce. Having 2 children and, you know, just looking at life that way, were there times where you just wonder, you know, is that person out there? Is that man out there? Or God, are you even listening?
I had some doubts, mm-hmm. but I've dated some men and they're not God-fearing. First of all, that's a rejection. And it's like sometimes, you know, in the past I would, you know, try to settle for less, but I know I'm God's child and God wants the best for all of his children. And I feel as though, you know, I pray. I need to be patient, and, you know, I've been single forever, and, you know, a lot of my family members say, oh, you need to have someone, but I've been very, very patient, and I know, you know, with my patience and with my prayer and my relationship with God, you know, God answered my prayer and presented this young man
That's awesome.
To me, so, you know, I just want to encourage someone to just be faithful, don't settle for less,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Know your self-worth, and God will bless you.
And are you,
but you have to believe.
Are you presently married to this man, or are you heading in that direction?
Oh, no. We're actually in a relationship right now, and we're actually thinking about marriage.
Okay. Well, good for
we're
you.
We're talking about, but I want to do everything the right way, counseling and all that, so we both, you know, get a clear understanding.
And you're staying pure?
You're...
You're staying away from, you know, you're staying away from temptation, staying pure in that relationship.
And that's something. Yes, we're staying pure until marriage, and it's hard. It's very, very hard.
There you go. Keep it real.
But
it is hard, but isn't it worth it?
A man of God, a man that knows the word, he is patient. You know, he is so patient. Yeah, we're in the flesh. We get tempted, but I just want to do everything the right way. We want to do everything the right way. So this is truly, you know, this is the first, and it's really just a good feeling.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Connie.
You're welcome.
We do appreciate
and I enjoy your show.
Thank you, and continue to listen, and thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a blessed one.
All right, bye-bye. You too. Absolutely. You know, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're having an open forum, meaning you can ask whatever you want. Our theme scripture of the day comes from Matthew chapter 7, and it simply says, ask and you shall receive. All right.
That's right. And we want you to be a part of today's program. And if you can, just give us a call at 855-454-5905. We're going to take a brief break, but we want you to be a part of the phone conversation. Join us, and we'll be right back with more conversation after this.
Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a good morning to you. We're in this final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. And we'd love for you to be a part of our conversation. Just reach out to us at 855-454-5905. We also want to invite you to our annual Inspiration Music Conference. State Farm and Praise 103.9 present this awesome event Saturday, March 29th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. We're going to feature artists like James Fortune, Israel Houghton, Erica Campbell, Donald Lawrence, Hezekiah Walker, Tamla Mann, and more. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, praisephilly.com.
To make a weekend of it, if you are in Charlotte or you're listening online from another city, I know many of you do, either from Detroit or even from Georgia. We do encourage you, go ahead and come up to Philadelphia for this. I am hosting a conference on Marriage Beyond the Vows. There will also be a conference on workshops there. I mean, tons of conferences. You can go check out these workshops. Go to praisephilly.com. Mm-hmm. And if you're one of the first 1,000 to purchase a ticket, you will also have the admission ticket for the big finale concert, concert, which will be at the Lear Course Center on Broad Street. So it's going to be amazing. It's going to be phenomenal. If you've not done this already, we do invite you to go to Facebook.com and go ahead and like our page, which is Marriage Beyond the Vows. Mm-hmm. Get in on the conversation, ask questions, you know, or answer questions that others might be posting, mm-hmm. and also find out a lot more what's going on around new events and stuff like that. So that'll be great.
Yeah, so you can come and visit us in the spring.
Yes,
our weather will be much better.
Brotherly love.
All right, we'd love to hear from you at 855-454-5905. Let's speak with Tony, calling in online too. Tony, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, ma'am. Thanks for taking my call. This is my first time actually calling. I listen to you guys periodically.
Okay, well, thank you, Tony. And what can we do? What can we help you with?
Here's my issue. I messed up really, really bad with my wife. I've been married to her for many, many years.
Okay.
And I screwed up.
Okay.
Really. Really bad. And I'm trying to find a way to keep her.
Okay.
I cheated with another girl. And I had cheated with her years ago. I let her go. I found out that I thought that I might have had a kid with this person. It turns out I wanted to check. I found out that, okay, there's the kid. We had gone to the same church. I stopped going to the church because I didn't want problems. Okay, I find out later on the kid isn't mine, but I was taking care of the kid. She found out later on that you know, sister kid, you ought to be taking care of it. Well, shoot, you get mad at me for doing something I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I found out it's not my kid. I love my wife. Even though I have hurt her and I have said I'm sorry, and she can see, she knows. I let this girl go. I told her I never want to talk to her. I never want to help her. Don't ever come into my life again.
Okay.
Now, I've been doing things for her, and she says, I can see wholeheartedly that you have. Her problem is, in my opinion only, she hates the fact that I get away with things, or things seem to work out for me no matter what I do. And that's why she is not trying to get back with me. She left me.
Okay.
But she comes to the house every day. And granted, when she was gone, we were emotional. She would say things to me, and I would say stuff to her. And she reminded me this morning, and I took her to work. I just let her off.
Mm-hmm.
And she, listening to you this morning, man, that scripture that you said about something, Corinthians?
Yes, Corinthians 7.
Not having sex? Man, that was one of our problems. She ain't looking at me when you said that. She ain't looking at me, period, when you guys were talking. But she was listening. She even turned it up herself. Now, I'm doing whatever I can, and I told her I apologize. I have done wrong. I don't dispute that. I have. All of these years, I messed up. But if you give me the chance, I will be better than you ever have. And every single day, even though my business has been messed up, I take her to work. I pick her up. I do whatever it takes. And I tell her, I love you every day. I send her messages. No, she's planning on coming back.
Okay.
But she says she doesn't want to come back to the marriage. I don't care what it takes for her to get back. If she gets in the house, that's fine with me. I'll work on it.
So she's not in the house right now?
No, she's in the house. She moved into an apartment in a really nice area. She left, but she comes by every day.
Okay. All right.
Like I said,
and are you having sex with
her?
No.
Oh, with her?
Yes.
With her?
Yes.
If I can pay her, she will periodically let me. Periodically.
If you pay her?
I have to pay her. I've always had to pay her. I mean,
no.
Look, I'll do whatever. Look, I pay her now because I have to, but she gives me back the money. Just sometimes, a lot of times she gives me back the money. But, yeah, I have to pay her.
I'm a little confused here. You're paying your wife for sex?
I pay my wife for sex. I have no choice. What am I going to do? Not have sex?
No, no. There's definitely a better way, and there are different ways to pay. To play, right? So that's how you really got to look at it. But there's a bunch going on here, Tony. Number one, I really do appreciate your openness, your honesty, and really it's obvious that you are broken about this. You've done some very foolish and very stupid things, and you see that. And I think that it's caused your marriage to have even more issues. I think you, in and of itself, if you would eliminate what happened and the adultery you committed, there would still be issues in your marriage. There's something else going on there, but that just overshadows anything else that we can work on, right? I mean, just the fact you said right now, you even have to pay her or try to, almost basically you're trying to manipulate her to want to sleep with you, and you're her husband. That shouldn't be. But I do think that you could only attack one thing at a time. The mistake that a lot of couples make is they want to fix everything right away, and it didn't happen right away. This took time to get to that point.
I can't fix it right away. I understand that.
Okay.
I understand that.
Well, listen here, Tony. One of the first things that I believe that both you and your wife need to understand, and I don't want you to just say, oh, okay, I got that, or that's easy, or I know that. But, like, I'm talking about really know that. When I get with couples, what the majority of the times, what I do is something I designed. And it's basically I get with couples for a minimum of 4 sessions. The first one is just to listen. I just listen with couples and I get to know where they're at. And then the very first session usually has to do with hope, because couples have lost hope or they're hanging by a thread. I want to help them understand, okay, what hope really is. But then we talk about forgiveness. And I want to share a scripture with you, Tony. It's Colossians 3:13, where it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And there's a huge misconception of what forgiveness is, right? A lot of times we'll hear someone say, you got to forgive and forget. You can't. Your wife can't forgive and forget you. She can forgive you. She won't forget. Even you can forgive yourself. You can forgive those around you, but you're not going to forget this that happened. That doesn't mean that you can't forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, it almost sounds like it's a contradiction, right? Because God can forgive and forget, but we can't. But so how are we supposed to forgive the way God forgives us? Well, first of all, he does not hold it against us. It's as if it never happened. And although we can't forget, we can still respond and react to someone as if it never happened. Meaning, if your wife truly gets to forgive you, then she needs to, although she won't forget it, she needs to act as if you've never had an affair. And that's not easy to do, but that's where, you know, it becomes, well, God, I need help and I need some guidance. And then for you as well, you, I don't believe, had totally forgiven yourself because you're still acting as if this happened. You're not acting as if it never happened. And I don't mean never happened and meaning you're not wise. I'm talking about this is still weighing on you. And although it's great that you're broken, shame is not good. All right. Guilt and shame are emotions, that are things that God gives us to help us to repent, but they're not something you want to carry around with you. They will destroy you. And out of shame, you're going to even want to compromise in your marriage and say, I just want my wife back. I don't care how it is. No, you trust me. You want your wife back and you want to have a marriage the way God wants it to be.
She doesn't want that. Well, you can't talk God around her. That's the thing.
But let me tell you, there is hope, though. You know why there's hope? She turned up the radio. If you would have told me that when she heard something, she just turned it off, I would say, man, you're in trouble. This woman doesn't even want to hear it. But the fact that she was hearing this was challenging her. It's exposing what's going on in your own marriage, because you were saying it was specifically about the part of not saying no and being intimate with each other. And she turned it up, meaning that there's something there she's trying to get or is even hoping you get. So there's hope, Tony. I just want you to realize that there is hope, although it might not seem that way to you. Well, I'll say one last thing, Tony, and unfortunately we'll have to go. I wish we had more time, and I do invite you, you know, we can have more conversation. I don't know if you're planning to attend our Inspiration and Music Conference, but that would be a perfect time to even meet you face-to-face and get connected with some of our counselors as well. But I think, Tony, the part that you have to figure out here is that you and your wife are not going to be able to do this by yourselves.
I understand that.
And you are at some point going to have to say, you know what, we've tried this our way. It's a mess. We need some kind of intervention. And don't think that, you know, what sounds logical to you might not work because that's what you've tried. So some of the things that myself or other counselors might encourage you to do might not even sound logical, but they might. It's probably exactly what you need to hear in this case.
Hey, can you tell me that verse again?
Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. So Tony, I do hope, you know, you make it out. You're in the Philadelphia area, correct?
I am in the Philadelphia area.
So you know, mark your calendar, bring your wife, come to this event. It will be life-changing for you. I really do believe that. I've seen couples in your exact or very similar situations turn their marriage around, or God turn it around.
Where is this event?
This is going to be at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. For any other information, you can go to praisephilly.com. There's a lot going on. There are a bunch of workshops, but specifically I'm hosting one with David and Tamla Mann. We also have some other counselors with us as well. We've had it every year for the last, this will be our fourth year. Every year it gets better and better. And it's just a breath of fresh air. Couples, I mean, we sell out in so many ways. And then there's a big finale concert. So anyone who purchased early ticket before first 1,000 to buy a ticket will get free admission to the concert as well that evening, a big concert. So it's just like a whole big event. Some of it starts on Friday night. Then we got stuff going on Saturday. And this just the whole weekend is going to be amazing.
I'll check the website. She believes that. She didn't break anything. She doesn't need a conversation about anything.
Say that again?
Her perspective is this. She didn't break anything. She doesn't think she needs counseling because she didn't do anything to break anything.
But you do. And if you start with that, remember at the beginning I said there are many things going on here. You got to start with one because it overshadows everything. If you at least have the counseling first just to deal with your thing, then after that gets dealt with, she might be more open to saying, okay, well, there are other issues as well. Just getting the foot in the door is going to be great. And you being humble and the way you've been broken about it, I would just focus on one at a time, though. Don't overwhelm it and say, okay, this is my issue, but now this is hers. It's like, no, we got to deal with me. Where my heart was, where my shortcomings was, with this forgiveness, let's move on, and then we go to the next thing. All right, Tony?
Okay.
Thank you so much. We really do appreciate you listening, and we appreciate you picking up the phone and giving us a call.
Okay.
All right, have a blessed day, Tony.
Take care.
Look forward to meeting you in person.
Ciao.
Take care.
If you're just tuning in, this is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We have room for your call at 855-454-5905. Let's speak with Mary calling in from the Philadelphia area on line one. Mary, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mary. So what can we do for you today? We're having an open forum, meaning you can ask whatever you want. You have any question or comment for us this morning?
Yes. I'm along with this man. He says a Christian.
Okay.
And fortunately, he came to live in my house.
Oh.
We engaged.
Okay.
Okay. He lived with me. So we used to be intimate, but going to church together, we keep the same thing. If you're not married, do not have sex.
Okay.
So we stopped being intimate, and we're talking about getting married. But the problem is financially.
Mm-hmm.
When he moved in with me, I did not know he was so badly off financially.
Okay.
So everything is on my shoulder. And he's working towards a better future. He's going to school. He works. And he's doing some business on the side, trying to make more money.
Okay.
And we pray together sometimes. But since he moved in my house, we had a liquor problem, and I was going to tell him to leave. Anyway, we make up and we get back together. But I'm having the vibes that I know I help him a lot financially, and I don't know. I feel like the feelings he had for me before is not there anymore, and I feel that he's just here because he don't have any. Right now, he's not getting on his feet, and he do not have anywhere to go at this time. This is my feelings right now. He's still living here, and financially, I'm still doing everything. He does pay his car payment, the one I get for him on my credit, and he's paying for it.
Okay.
He paid the payment monthly, but it's my credit and everything, and
okay.
He's paying the payment.
So let me ask you here. So it doesn't sound like he's irresponsible. He's trying to get his life together. He's paying the bills.
Yes, he is. He gets up in the morning. He goes to work at 5, and then he goes to school.
So why don't you? You're saying financially. I mean, what's stopping you from getting married? I mean, and I'm not talking about having a big grand wedding, but just saying, hey, let's have a small, you know, quick wedding. Let's just get married to make this right. We obviously want to be together. We're living under the same roof. We're you know, struggling with the temptation. We're doing the right thing, but we just need to go ahead and get married. What is stopping you?
No, that's. I mean, I would want to get married, but I think it's the hesitation on his part. That's why I'm thinking.
But you're acting like a married couple. You know that, right?
Just for, just to get the. I was listening to you. Maybe he's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
You know what? Let me ask you this. That's a good way to know. You said you were going to church together, and you started getting convicted. You heard the minister, you know, you heard the preaching saying you shouldn't be sleeping together, and so you stopped. Has he tried to continue, or did he respect that and say, no, you're right, you know, we shouldn't be doing this?
Well, he's the one that even bring up the situation. He said, you know, we have been sleeping together, and we are praying about the same thing all the time, and we're not getting the results we're getting.
Mary,
so it's better
Mary, that doesn't sound like a wolf in sheep's clothing. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm just going by what you're telling me. But a wolf in sheep's clothing would not be telling you to do the right thing. I mean, there sounds like look, I don't know this man. I haven't met him. But what you share about him, he sounds like a good man. I mean, he's working. I mean, I know a lot of women right now, they're single and they're saying, well, go, he's a good man. I mean, he gets up at 5 in the morning. He's responsible. He's kind of been out of it, you know, down on his luck maybe. He's trying to get his feet back together, but he's in school. He's paying you, you know, he got a car that I guess maybe he didn't have great credit. You did, but he's paying it. It's not like he's making you pay for it. I mean, sounds like a good man. And he sounds like he's trying to do the spiritual thing because he brought it up to you. So he's leading you spiritually. Honestly, Mary, I don't know what else you would want.
I'm just saying, everything financially in the house is me right now. The bills.
So, but I thought he works.
He works, but he's not paid anything.
So
he's going to pay for the car, and he hold the IRS, and whatever he works goes to pay in his bill.
Okay, well, I have a suggestion for you, Mary. And this is, you know, we're encouraging a lot of people. We're going to have a bunch of workshops. I think even, you know, having a serious conversation. We have, you know, the Marriage Beyond the Vows workshop. We also have a Faith and Finances workshop. I think at some point you and your husband, or soon to be, if he's going to be, you know, your fiance, right? You're engaged. You need to sit down and see, maybe he just really is bad at handling his money. I mean, he owns the IRS. It might not be so much that it's a ill intention. It's just maybe he's just really inadequate with his finances.
He's a very intelligent man. Very intelligent. That's another thing I'm afraid of. I don't know if it's I feel that when he finishes, he's gonna go about his business. What I'm saying, when he
you think he's
paid,
using you, Mary?
Pardon me?
You think he's using you?
Exactly.
Okay. So then, and why not? If you feel that way, you don't trust him. You can't build the relationship that way. Why not just ask him to leave the house?
I'm trying. I'm convicted in this because, you know, he get paid, and in the next week I have to. I'm even helping to build in his credit. His credit is so bad. I put his name on one of my credit cards.
Yeah, but you should never do that, Mary. Don't do that.
His name, but I did not give him a credit card.
Okay. But you put it. I mean, he can call and get the card. I mean, that it's. Why would you do that?
Yes, he can call. I get the card. I didn't give it to him. But I'm trying to build his credit card. We're talking about moving to somewhere else and buy a house together. And his credit is so messed up. Another thing, I don't want to get married. And since I put his name on the credit card, every 2 weeks, when he doesn't have any money, he's asking me to buy gas all the time, put in his car.
Okay.
And so then he owe me a lot of money. When he came, going to school, he couldn't get his student loan.
Okay, Mary, this is different. If he's using you, you're letting him. He didn't make you or force you to do any of these things, to move him in, to co-sign for the car, to, you know, set up the credit card. I mean, you're doing this on your own, yet you're enabling him. You know, I want to show you something here. In Proverbs 6, it says, if you have put security up for your neighbor, or if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, you have been trapped by what you said and snared by the words of your mouth. So do this to free yourselves, and you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbor no rest. Allow no sleep to your eyes and no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle and the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. And what does that mean? It says you need to get out of this situation as soon as possible. The debt, the co-signing, I mean, those are serious issues of boundaries, Mary. You don't do that. I mean, and he's not your husband, so you're not one. And you're allowing him to use you.
And another thing. I lent him the money. See, I sent a promissory note one time when I lent him. But when the car is broke down, I have to come up with money to fix the car. The insurance, I'm paying the insurance on the car. That's why I'm afraid.
Mary, you want to buy me a car too? I need another car.
So I'm saying, I'm trying to, and every time I talk about him as using me, I said, I don't understand this relationship. You should be doing all these things for me. And he's telling me.
But Mary, why are you doing it?
What he said, we're getting married, we are building a future together. And when?
But you're not married.
Right. So he said, together. And even when I asked him for the gas to go do my business, I'm going to do a business where whatever I achieve in the future will be for us. That's what he's arguing.
I know, but you know what, Mary? At this point, you got to say, listen, that's the future. Right now is now, and we're starting off at the wrong foot. It sounds like you don't trust him. You feel like he's using you. There's no way to start a relationship. You need to start reclaiming some of these things that are yours. And you need to be okay with saying no to him. And if he really loves you, he'll figure it out.
Yes, like when he asked me for gas the last time, he wanted me to give him the card that has his name on it. He said, why don't you give me the card that has his name on it to go buy me gas? I said, give me the card and you're not paying on it. And he's telling me to use my credit card for everything.
No, you got to say no. You can you say no? Let me hear you say. I want to hear you say no.
So he sent me to use my credit card for everything, and he's telling me all I have to pay is the minimum.
Mary. Mary, I want to hear you say no right now.
No.
No. And that, remember that. Say no. It's okay. It doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you wicked. You've done enough already. You need to start saying no. And if he doesn't agree with it, then he can go. And if he loves you enough, he'll be okay with it.
Yes, and it's over $13,000 this guy owe me.
Okay, I got you. All right, Mary, thank you. Thank you so much. We do appreciate you sharing that. We're going to be praying for you, Mary, but please just say no. Say no. No more, all right? And one thing I hope he does say yes to is I hope the both of you come to our workshop at the Inspiration and Music Conference.
Oh, thank you, Marcus.
All right, Mary. God bless. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right, our number is 855-454-5905. Go speak with Judy, calling in from Connecticut. Judy, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We're doing well. You're calling us from Connecticut. Are you listening online?
I listen to you guys online every Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Judy. All right, so let us know here. We have an open forum, meaning you can ask whatever you want, you know, and you must obviously have a question because you're calling us.
Yes. So I'm in my mid-30s. I'll be turning 35 next week, as a matter of fact. And I am a virgin, number one. Number two, I have not been in a ton of relationships since I've been young. I've never dated. I've had a boyfriend here and there. But I was wondering, people spoke over my life and said, you know, you're going to have this great husband and this and that and the other.
Mm-hmm.
God has never really spoken to me personally about the promises with regards to a husband and a family. And I was wondering if, you know, there is a possibility that I'm just going to be single for the rest of my life.
Okay. Well, you know, excellent, Judy. I really do appreciate that. I think these are the kind of conversations we love to have because I know others feel that way. There are others in your shoes, but they might be a little bit embarrassed to share that or to be open. I think number one, first of all, you know, not just for calling, but to even sharing that, and congratulations, you know, being a virgin in your 30s is rare. And that's the way God intended for it to be. And the only time you should not be a virgin is if you get married. And so, amen. Congratulations. That's awesome. In terms of your question, you know, there's a passage in 1 Corinthians 7. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn to it. If not, just at least write this down so you can go over it later. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, and I have read this part of the verse before, it says, do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. That's what Paul is telling couples. But then he says, I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all of you were as I am. And was that? Single, right? He was single at that point. It says, but each of you has his own gift from God. One has this gift, the other one has that. So he talks about the fact that you could be single as a gift. And we talks about, you know, a lot of people talk about the gift of Paul or the gift of celibacy, right? In verse 8, he says, now to the unmarried and to widows, I say this, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And so what you need to figure out here for you, Judy, is are you okay with devoting yourself to the Lord and not being married? I mean, are you just okay with that for the rest of your life?
No.
Some women are not. You got to decide, are you okay with it?
No.
Okay. So then it's chances are you don't have the gift. If you were like, sure, I'm okay. I mean, look, if I get a husband, great. If I don't, I'm fine. Then you would have the gift. So the fact that you have a desire and you want that, and it says it's better to marry than to burn with passion, you chances are there's something else that God is trying to teach you. Perhaps he's helped you to keep yourself so that the right man will come along and would appreciate you and feel like you're absolutely that gift from God to him. Perhaps it's, you know, God has been working on you as well to prepare you to be a great wife. I mean, whatever it is, it doesn't mean you have that gift. So perhaps some of those around you are correct and they see you with some great man. You know, my only, I would say, advice to you at this point is to have an open heart and an open mind, but to make sure that the man that comes around respects you and treats you properly, knowing especially that you've kept yourself pure.
Right. I think the thing that I failed to mention is that, you know, I've been the relationships that I have been in, which is few, all of them have I've stopped, you know, with the relationship because of the nature, it getting a little bit too hot and heavy. And so the major relationship that I had, I definitely said, you know, we can't do this anymore. Like, we either go to counseling and find a way to figure this out, you know, so that we don't go and have sex, or I just can't be in this. And so they've all ended because of, you know, the issue of sex. And these are saved men. These are men that love the Lord. So there's been a lot of sacrifice, and the enemy has definitely worked on me as far as, you know, me thinking, had I given in, maybe I would have been married by now, or, you know, had I compromised, maybe things would be different.
But
so there's a real struggle there.
Yes,
you know?
And let me answer that. Yes, perhaps you would have. Perhaps you wouldn't have. But you know what? It wouldn't have been a godly marriage. It wouldn't have been someone who respects God enough, first of all, and you, secondly. Is that what you truly want, or are you willing to wait? You know, some of our callers earlier, there was one specific caller that said, listen, she was divorced and she was tempted to compromise, but she was like, this next time around, I want to trust God. And she was like, she waited patiently and God sent her an amazing man. And yet he wasn't exactly what she had, like a physical, you know, kind of criteria for, but she said, right, he's been amazing. And isn't that what you would want? Someone that has, you know, truly appreciates God and him. I mean, let's be honest. The man that loves God and finds you and says you've kept yourself pure, even though you've been tempted and other men have tried, but you said no. I mean, he needs to appreciate you. But if he doesn't appreciate that gift, then he's not worthy.
Right.
And they have to respect God and respect you enough and fear God enough to say, no, I would not mess this up. This is amazing. You're over 30. I mean, that is absolutely amazing. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be the norm, but unfortunately, that's just not the way things are today.
Right.
And so you need to value that and realize you did the right thing. You do not need a compromise. It's better for you to remain alone, to be honest with you, than to end up with someone who just does not appreciate you and appreciate the purity that God has blessed you with.
I think what irks me a little bit, and I'm, you know, I'm busy doing God's work. I'm, you know, I won't go into the details of what I do, but I think what irks me is that, number one, I don't exactly have a pride in being a virgin. I don't put that out there. I did not become a part of a program to encourage young people to become a virgin, because I myself did not feel happy about that. Number two, I see my friends who are also saved, girlfriends who did not choose that path of abstinence during their dating relationship, and they're in marriages. So how does one stay focused on, you know, the right thing when you see everyone else around you doing what's not the right thing, but yet still the outcome is, you know, great due to God's grace and mercy, perhaps? You know, how do you stay focused with that?
You know what? I want to encourage you, and unfortunately we have to move on here, but I do want to encourage you. There's a scripture I want you to study out in your own time, and that is Luke chapter 15. It's the prodigal son.
Okay.
But it's not him that I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on his brother and the heart that he had, because he looked at his situation as he was like sacrificing and laboring for God instead of appreciating what God has given him. And it sounds like to me that you have some regret. In one hand, you're like, all right, I know I did the right thing. I have my conviction, but you have regret, and that doesn't come from God.
Right.
That is the devil trying to tell you that you're a fool by keeping yourself pure. And that is not from God. That is not, absolutely not, what God wants you to. What you're listening to right now is the word, the devil speaking to you and telling you, look, you're regretful, compromise. He's angry because you've done such a great thing. So don't mess it up by being like that second son. And so I encourage you, study out Luke 15 and really pray to not have that heart and really have an opportunity to appreciate and look at what God tells that second son. I mean, he has so much grace on him. He's like, man, this, everything was yours. Like, you could have anything. And so that's what you got to be able to understand. But thank you so much. I really do appreciate you calling in and listening and, of course, sharing your life with us.
Thank you very much for your
time. All right.
Take care.
We're going to try one last caller really quickly. We're almost out of time here, but we do want to get her in.
All right. We have Dawn calling in on line 4. Dawn, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Dalton. I want to apologize. We really literally just have a minute left, but I know you have a question for us.
Yes. I'm not physically attracted to my husband anymore.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to figure out how do I reconnect.
Okay. Now, when you're saying physically attractive, I mean, you scale of 1 to 10.
Maybe a 5. Like, he's very handsome. He's a very good-looking guy. The heart of gold, but he's gained some weight over the years. And I look at, yeah. I don't know, maybe I'm shallow, but the weight
No. How many pounds bigger? How heavier is he than from when you first married him?
About 40.
Okay. All right. I want you to know, Dawn, it's absolutely how you communicate it, but you should communicate this because this is something within his realm of changing. Now, he told me he was short and you really wish he was taller. If you know, he has brown eyes, but you really wish he had hazel eyes. I mean, he can't change that. Well, maybe he could put on contacts, but not, you know what I mean. He can't change certain things. But to ask your husband, number one, just because you fell in love with a man who was a lot, who was in better shape, who was 40 pounds lighter, it's okay. But I think it's how you do it. If you do it out of love and not make him feel like a horrible slob, but just say, honey, you know, I just love, you know, when you were really on top of your weight, can we do something together? And look, I'm not trying to just sell this, but I think there's so much more that we can discuss and get into when we do our workshop at the Inspiration and Music Conference. And so I hope and pray, you know, go to praisephilly.com, look for us, look for Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're going to have a workshop there and we're going to be talking about this as well, you know, physical attraction.
Okay, thanks.
But in the meantime, just be honest with your husband. Just be prayerful and wise about how you communicate it. But there's nothing wrong for you to say, honey, I married a lighter man. You know, can we work on this together?
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dawn. We do appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right. It looks like there's the tail end of it. If you're just tuning in or if you just caught the tail end of our show, we do want to encourage you to go ahead and visit praisephilly.com and find out more information about our Inspiration and Music Conference, specifically our Marriage Beyond the Vows Conference that I'm going to be hosting alongside many others, including David and Tamela Mann from Meet the Browns. We had an amazing time last year. If you missed it, trust me, you don't want to miss this one. We even had a couple get engaged during our conference. I mean, it was off the chain. And so this is one of those things you do not want to miss. Go to praisephilly.com for more information, and I want to see you there personally.
Absolutely. And with that, we thank you so much for joining us. Please make sure you join us again next week starting at 8 a.m. on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Much love going out to our producer, Ron, in Charlotte, and our producer here in Philly, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.